Morning, everyone. I don't know about you, but I always get excited when it's a new year. It's a fresh new year, full of new opportunities, new occurrences, new possibilities. It's a new start. And I always get motivated to do better than I had in the previous year. One thing I like to do at the beginning of a new year, or even a new month, is to set goals for myself. When I say goals, I don't exactly mean resolutions, just things I want to get accomplished, things I want to work on, areas where I want to grow. So one goal I set this year was to be a better servant and to serve more. I usually like to plan out my goals ahead of time, and I realized, wow, there's a lot more I could do to serve. And that's what I want to talk about today, as the song we sang earlier, Make Me a Servant, that fit really well with what I want to talk about today. So before we get into what service looks like, how we should serve, and why, I first want to look at what the word serve actually means. So serve is a word with many meanings, whether as serving in the military, helping others, or even hitting a ball to start a volley in volleyball or tennis. That's also called a serve. That's not the kind of serve I want to talk about today, though. The form of service I want to spend the most time looking at today is that of helping one another, ministering to each other's needs. I grabbed our big dictionary at home to see what the definitions of the word serve are. Now, before I read these definitions, I'm just going to warn you, this dictionary isn't exactly new. It's an 1828 edition of Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, and I really like the definitions of these words. So the first definition of the word serve is to work for, to bestow the labor of body and mind in the employment of another. I also looked up the definitions of the word service, and the definition of the word service is, in a general sense, labor of body or of body and mind performed at the command of a superior or in pursuance of duty or for the benefit of another. These definitions fit really well with what I want to talk about today. Just as the word serve is used in different contexts in our modern language, it's also used differently throughout the Bible. Some versions read the word serve, others read a word that is similar. I'm sure we're all aware that there are many ways to serve. There isn't one rule or formula for the most effective serving. The most effective service varies on who you're serving or what cause you're serving. There are things that are widely recognized as service and things that are not, but the most effective, most helpful service depends. Now that we've kind of looked at what the word serve means, I want to ask a few questions. Why should we serve? Should we be serving only if we can gain from it? Well, to help us answer these questions, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let's take a look at verse 13. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Paul says here that we have been called to freedom. That's great. We love freedom, right? Especially in this country. The New King James Version even translates this word freedom into liberty, which we love even more in this country. We are called to freedom. But what does Paul say next? He says, we are not to use our freedom as an opportunity to satisfy our flesh, but through love, we are to serve one another. We are to serve. The next passage I would like to look at is Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We'll start reading in verse 25. This is just after the mother of James and John asks Jesus to let her sons sit one at his right hand and one at his left, just to give you some context of this verse in his kingdom. Beginning in verse 25, it says, "But Jesus called them to him and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came in this world not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for us. We are followers of Jesus Christ, brethren. He served. That's why we need to serve. We are followers of Christ, so we need to serve as he served and like he did. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. I know I'm kind of jumping around over the place. I apologize for that. 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 7. It says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as the one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." We must serve. We all have talents and abilities, things we can do well. Peter says that we are to use our gifts or talents to serve one another. And he says, as good stewards of God's varied grace. We are to be good stewards with our abilities, not just with our possessions that we have, but also our talents and our abilities. Peter then gives some examples of this. He says in verse 11, "Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as the one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." We are to serve and to do this so that in everything God may be glorified. And also in verse 8, we are to love, as we kind of looked at in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. In John 15, verses 12 through 15, John 15, verses 12, we'll read on through verse 15. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." This passage again shows the importance of our serving through love. When Jesus says, "No longer do I call you servants, but friends," I don't think Jesus is saying that the apostles aren't servants. I'm more inclined to think that this is one of those not but phrases, which is kind of common throughout Scripture. That they are not only servants, but much more friends. We are to serve because Christ served. We are to follow him. We are to serve through love, using our abilities and talents to serve. So we've talked about why we should serve, and we've talked about how we should serve through love. But does it really matter what kind of attitude we have while we serve? Does it matter what kind of effort we put towards serving? To answer these questions, I'd like us to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We'll begin reading in verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and no longer be stubborn. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and who takes no bribe." So kind of as we talked about in class, in the adult class earlier, we need to serve through our whole hearts, putting our whole hearts into this. We are to fear God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and serve with our whole heart and all our soul, and to keep his commandments and statutes. We also are not to be stubborn, in verse 16, for our God is God over all. And we know the Israelites, they were very stubborn, even after receiving this message. We need to be careful that we are not stubborn also. I'd like to read Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 9. It says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." There's a lot of commands in this verse, like do this's and even a don't do that. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and I really like how it translates, but my favorite translations for these verses probably are the New American Standard Bible and the Christian Standard Bible. I'm going to read how they translate this real quickly. The New American Standard Bible reads, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." And the Christian Standard Bible reads, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Take the lead in honoring one another. Do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality." Notice these key words and phrases: devoted, deeply, take the lead, pursue, be persistent, not lagging behind. These words and phrases have strong meanings. They show perseverance in putting our whole hearts into this. From this, we can conclude that we need to serve with our whole hearts. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 5. It says, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free." We see here that it's okay to be a slave or a servant. Paul addresses bondservants, and so obviously there still are servants. Paul says that we are, if we are a bondservant, we are to obey earthly masters with fear or respect, as we would obey Christ. We are to serve with a good will, as we would serve Christ again. We are to know that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. We are to serve one another as we would serve Christ. Turn over a few more pages to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 3. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." From these verses, we can see that we are to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. We are to count others more significant than ourselves through humility, through being humble. We are to look at the interests of others, not only our own interests. And we are to have this mind among ourselves, which is ours in Christ Jesus, or some translations say, which was also in Christ Jesus. Another passage I would like to read is Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll read the first four verses. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you." Jesus says here that we are not to boast or to toot our own horn, sound a trumpet when we serve and help others. And we are to beware of only practicing righteousness before other people so that we can be seen by them. He says not even to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. God sees us and what we do. We can be content knowing that God knows the good things that we do. We don't have to make others know them. And he will reward us and judge us accordingly. We are to serve. We are to serve with our whole hearts. We need to make sure that we are serving with the right motives, not for selfish gain, not so others can see our good looks and praise us, but through love to glorify God. We serve because we follow Christ, and he served. Now, I want to look at some qualities that a servant of the Lord possesses. For this, I want us to turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I'd like to read verse 26. It says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Jesus says, if we are to serve him, if we are to serve Christ, then we must follow him, no matter what. You don't have to turn over there, but I'm just going to read John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. It says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." If the world persecuted Christ, whom we follow, then it will also persecute us. Now, this is enough for some people. Service is something that many do, and service makes you feel good also, and it is helpful. And so many, even the world, do it. However, knowing that we will most likely be persecuted because we follow Christ is a different matter. Are we willing to follow Christ even to the point of persecution and torture? Now, I know that in this country, we as Christians are not currently being persecuted, and we can be thankful for that. But look over in other countries. In Nigeria, Christians are being persecuted. Look at Christians in the first century. They were being persecuted as well. We should be thankful that we aren't persecuted yet. We may be in the future, but we aren't yet. We do need to be thankful, but we also shouldn't just be sitting around twiddling our thumbs all day thinking about how blessed we are that we're not persecuted. The Christians in the first century were persecuted, but look what they still did. They taught others and spread the gospel. We aren't persecuted. Are we teaching and spreading the gospel like they did? It is even easier for us now due to more ways to reach people through technology. We need to be teaching others and following Christ. And there may be a day when we are persecuted for being Christians. Will we still follow Christ then? Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 13. It says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God." We are to be subject to every human institution, every form of government, of leaders, mayors, that sort of thing, for the Lord's sake. However, in verse 16, Paul says that we are to live as people who are free. Do these verses contradict each other, being subject to rulers and then being free? Does that contradict? Well, if not, then what's this freedom that Paul's talking about? Freedom from what? Is it from physical leaders? Well, Romans 6, verses 20 through 23. You also don't have to turn to this if you don't want to, but if you'd like to, it's Romans 6, again, verses 20 through 23. It says, "For while you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things which you are now ashamed? For at the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are set free from sin, so we are to serve Christ now that we are free. We are saved through Christ. He has set us free through his death and resurrection. Sin held us captive. Through Jesus' sacrifice and our obedience to his commands, through being baptized into his death and being raised with him, we can be saved. We are to live as people who are free, free from sin, and we are to serve. Let's turn over in our Bibles to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 22, and we'll read on to the end of the chapter. Beginning in verse 22, it says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." These verses are filled with lots of qualities to possess, things to manifest in our lives. The first one is, we are to flee youthful passions. Next one, we are to pursue faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We are to have nothing to do with foolish controversies or arguments, knowing that they breed quarrels. And we, who want to be the Lord's servants, must not quarrel or be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting our opponents with gentleness, because God may grant those people repentance. As we've looked at in 1 Peter 4:11 earlier, we must serve through the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We are to serve, living as those who are free from sin, following Christ. We need to be patient and kind, not quarreling, but serving with our whole hearts. And not just being kind to our fellow brethren or to our friends or neighbors, but to everyone, even our opponents, handling them with gentleness, because they can be forgiven. Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. We'll read verses 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 starts, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself, not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. We are, like Paul, to understand others and to go to their levels of understanding so that we can save them. Now, this doesn't mean compromising the truth in order to make others not like feel comfortable around us, in order to avoid stepping on their toes and like kind of tickling their ears, giving them what they want to hear. This does not mean that. It does mean teaching others on their levels of understanding and becoming like them in their knowledge of understanding, doing it for the sake of the gospel so that we can save them. Let me ask a question. Who will you serve? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Let's take a look at verse 13. It says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." We cannot serve two masters. And I know that whenever we're accomplishing a goal or accomplishing a task or doing something, it's hard to try to multitask at the same time. We can't do that. We can't serve God and money. So who will it be? God or money? In Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15, you don't have to turn to this if you don't want to, but if you would like to, it's, again, Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. In this, Joshua says, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the regions beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua knew who he was going to serve. He was going to serve the Lord. And he was going to teach his household to serve the Lord also. And we know how the Israelites responded to this. If you jump down to verses 16 through 18, the Israelites respond, "Then the people answered, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord, our God, who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Now, this sounds like a good speech, but did the Israelites live up to this? No, they did not. We must make sure that we are faithful. It's one thing to say that you will serve the Lord, and that's good. But it's another thing to follow through with it, no matter what. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Just a few more passages before I close. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 25, and reading to the end of the chapter. It says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him into pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This servant in this reading said to himself, "My master is delayed." So he began to do wicked things, thinking that his master would not come because he was delayed. Our master, however, is not delayed. He is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He will come, though, and we do not know when. However, we do know that he is faithful. We need to be on guard, lest we become like the servant. We need to teach, to serve, and to bring others to him. Turn over to the next chapter in Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need to work, to serve, to do things till he will come. And we do not know when, but we know that he is faithful to his promises. And we need to work, to serve. When Christ comes, and on the judgment day, would you like to hear God say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Do you want to hear that? I know I certainly do. We need to serve. We need to be faithful. Because we do not know when our master will come. We must serve because Christ served us. And we are to follow him. We must serve the Lord with our whole hearts, with the abilities and the talents that he has given us. We've gathered here today to remember the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We have many great examples of servants throughout history. Of course, the greatest one is Christ. Christ came down from heaven, the Word who was with God and who is God. He redeemed us through his broken body and shed blood. And we remember this when we partake of the Lord's Supper. Christ served us. We, likewise, need to serve. Christ did what we could not and will never be able to do. He freed us from our sins. Let's remember this as we go throughout life. And let's remember it now as we partake of the Lord's Supper, which we will do after we sing number 221.